Welcome to the actual 8th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. I was very tired last week. For our last week in North America, we discuss some awesome natives, talk about some animals with a serious charisma problem, and discuss some of our pet-related dreams if money were no issue. Shockingly, Casey doesn't single me out for this week's challenge. Two words, Allie: Yorkshire Terrier. You'll understand when we get there. And now, episode 8 of the Animal Addicts podcast. Hello and welcome to the 8th episode of the Animal Addicts podcast. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And we're going to talk about a whole new batch of awesome animals today. So what have you been up to, Casey, in the week since I last saw you?
So this week I have been binge watching the Our Planet series from Netflix.
Okay.
Which is available on YouTube, and I recommend everyone watch it.
Is what on YouTube?
The Our Planet series.
What'd you say it was on YouTube? I'm confused. It's Netflix.
So it's technically originated from Netflix.
Oh.
But their YouTube channel has the series on.
Oh. It. Is it also on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So I found out about it originally because my sister brought it up. She's like, you know, there's like this Planet Earth thing on Netflix we should watch. And it's like, then about a year later, I saw it on YouTube. And it's like, Bree, there's this thing on YouTube.
She's like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. She didn't remember the name, so that's probably why I didn't remember saying it. Yeah.
Did you give it the criteria of safe, not safe, or mostly safe?
No, but it's safer than I would say the Planet Earth series is typically.
Okay.
Yeah. And also I say, just accept nature how it is. It's awful.
It's our slogan for 2020.
Yeah, but like, I remember seeing the first Planet Earth and Blue Planet, and I remember, like, I saw a couple times, at least, where the predators actually got the prey. And I have to rewatch it to make sure, but I felt like there was very few instances where the predator actually caught the prey.
Well, I think that's typical, though. Most predators don't usually catch their prey.
There's an exception.
Whoa, the black-footed cat?
No.
No, okay, a different one.
Is the African painted dogs.
Look at these African cats and dogs just catching.
But yeah, it's like, it's funny though, because you have like lions, which are also a cooperative hunting species.
They have
a success rate of less than 20%.
Wow.
While you have African wild dogs that are successful in 4 out of 5 hunts.
That's really good.
Yeah, about 80%.
I feel like lions are going for really big prey though.
Yeah, but African dogs, they go after things that are significantly larger, like some impala, wildebeest are pretty significantly larger than them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, well.
Yeah, but they're one of my favorite animals.
They're pretty cool.
Yes.
I love them a lot.
Yeah, and it was like, I was listening to another podcast, and it was funny because I think they make a good point. It's like, when you talk to like the laymen, everyday people, they like know about the big cats and even several of the smaller cats, and they're like very well known, and it's like, yes, let's take care of them, conservation stuff for those guys. And then when you go shift it over to canines, it's like, I know very few people that can name more than like a wolf, coyote, and a few others.
Really?
Yeah, I like,
well, what else is there? Wolf, coyote, jackal, African wild dog. Are they
African wolf,
their own thing?
Ethiopian wolves.
Okay, but
there's the maned wolves, bush dogs, several foxes. There's the South American foxes, which aren't even foxes.
There's so many foxes. Yeah. All these lion names.
Yeah.
How dare they?
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't classify a different wolf. I would just think like a wolf.
Yeah. Well, there's the Ethiopian wolf. I'm pretty sure it's technically called the African golden wolf. Yes, those are weird because I think they originated as a hybrid between two species and then evolved into their own species.
That's real weird.
Yes, I think it was those guys. I love Ethiopian wolves. Those are probably like, they're in my top 3 canid species.
I don't know what I would choose. It's too hard. I just like wolves in general, but foxes are just adorable. I love them.
Eventually, I'll have to talk about South American foxes, how they're not actually foxes.
Okay, well,
Wait, this is just, we're going to have a huge tally of animals that are not and actually foxes.
Another huge old rabbit trail. Because, like I said, hardly any of the animals, unless it was, like, the sea life episodes, because there was the tuna catching the fish, which is cool. Tuna are very cool. I love tuna.
To eat or to watch?
Both, but I don't. The only tuna I eat are skipjack and albacore.
I did try to look for that marine thing. I should have brought the can to ask you if that was right. But it says it's pole caught.
Yeah, pole line caught.
Yeah.
Is one of the sustainable methods,
and it
typically.
Actually, it was, I think it may have been albacore in water and sea salt.
Yeah.
Which was kind of, I didn't enjoy the salt taste.
Yeah, I always have gotten it in oil, which isn't as healthy, but it tastes better because I like put it. I make tuna melts and so it tastes better on that.
With my tuna, but I did notice I liked like the tuna just looked better in this can too. I was like, oh, I wish it wasn't so salty, but
yeah.
Anyway, sorry, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, so like I said, I only eat skipjack, albacore because those two are typically more sustainable. Pacific bluefin is not sustainable at all. It's actually they talk about it in the High Seas episode about how it's the most sought after fish. They usually go for thousands of dollars at fish markets.
Wow.
And the most one ever sold for was $1.3 million.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Do they just taste amazing?
I don't know why, but they are like one of the largest bony fish. They are like 9 feet, several hundred pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, blue. I remember when I was a kid, it was like tuna, like this little tiny thing in the can. It's like, no, they're huge.
Yeah, I thought they were like, you know, the size of a big trout.
Yeah. But yeah. And it's like, it was cool watching them hunt because it was like kind of a coordinated effort.
Interesting.
Yes, they were schooling these anchovies and they corralled them up towards the surface so they couldn't get away and put them into a bait ball. And they finally decided to go after them. One would go out, and then it was like a relay, and they would take turns in like a relay style. The ones when they catch a fish, they go to the back, and it's like that fluid motion.
I never thought of tuna hunting.
Yeah, I actually had a professor at my community college that studied migration patterns of tuna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's only one episode I haven't watched, and that's Coastal Waters. I'll probably watch it tonight.
Okay.
And how about what you've been up to?
So I worked endlessly all week, so I did not get around too much. Two kind of things I did, like daydreamy sort of. One was I had talked before about how I miss petting dogs. And for a little bit of my week, I was at our one location, and I'm outside most of the time. But because of COVID, I have gloves and like mask and all that stuff, right? And I see the dogs walk by. And obviously the dogs miss being pet because one came right over to me. And I was like, forget it. I put hand sanitizer on my gloves and rubbed it all in. And I was like, I'm petting you. And it was just so sweet. And it looked up at me like that just doggy face of like, hello. And I pet like three dogs that day. So I got to pet some dogs but with gloves on. So it's not quite the same for the dog or for me. But still, I got doggy attention. So it was great. But as I was sitting there, because of course in the challenge last week, you got fake money. And sometimes we just dream about if we had money, right?
Oh, I need money.
That'd be nice. I was just thinking about, like, if I was wealthy and I had, like, my dream house and, like, my dream stuff and, like, what pets I would have. Which it is limited into what I could also evacuate. Like, I spoke of, like, what you can evacuate in a reasonable amount of time. So I'd want to have, so for me, I'm going to ask you as well, but I would want to have at least a couple horses. But probably also like a Welsh pony so that younger people could ride that. And it's not quite as big, but it's not like a Shetland where only small children can ride it. And then I'd want to have some goats because they can trim your yard and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Who needs a lawnmower? You got goats. And then also they're cute. Cute again. Even though they're kind of bratty, but they're still cute. And then I'd want to get us a pig or two. I'd get them on a little bubbas. And they could be in the house with their little babies, and then we'd make them like a nice thing outside when they're bigger. And then chickens, so you could have your own eggs, which happened a lot where I grew up. A ton of people had chickens. If they didn't have cows and other things, they had chickens and horses. But my parents would never get me a horse, so anyway.
Friends got a new horse recently.
Nice. They're very expensive. Yep. I understand why my parents didn't get a horse, but at the time I was very upset. Because we had the space for it. So, anyway. But yeah, so I would have that. Those would be like the outdoor animals, right? Mm-hmm. Like farm type animals. I'd also want to have, because we visited my mom's coworker one time, and they had this really beautiful like koi pond with a little bridge over it, so you could like dip your feet in it. It was really cool. So I'd want to have something like that. Obviously, dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. Not 101. Not a nice person. Probably a couple big dogs and a couple smaller dogs, and then some kitties. And then, oh, I'd really want to have. So this is my like dream, and I know you have something kind of similar. I would want to have a whole pet room.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have like litter boxes in there and stuff like that for kitties. I'd want to have one room that was separated that was birds. So they'd all have their like their normal cages to sleep in that room. But then I want to have an aviary that goes outside that I can open up to so they can go outside. Probably partially indoors and partially outdoors. So if the weather's horrible, then they can be inside. But I'd want to have an aviary with some birds in it. Nothing big. I don't want anything I have to leave in my will. You know, like that kind of thing. So no parrots.
Mm.
And I do love turtles, but they also live a long time and I don't want to have to deal with. Hello, grandchild. You have to take care of this animal. And then I'd probably have some reptiles, like a reptile room. And then like a small pet room. So probably have like some guinea pigs and stuff. And then we could let them out and run around in the room so they'd have bigger space to run in.
Any specific reptiles?
I should look into if there are turtle species that don't live that long. I love turtles.
The aquatic turtles don't.
No, I don't like aquatic turtles. They stink. And they're kind of mean.
Yeah. The better ones are like the mud, musk, and stink pot turtles.
Stink pot? Do they not stink, though?
I don't think they stink that bad.
I want a turtle I can interact.
Because they're small turtles. They only get like 4 or 5 inches.
Oh, that's
so you don't need like a giant aquarium.
Yeah. Well, that might be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I'd want to have, like I like box turtles. They're cool because they're not too big and they're not too crazy. When I was a little kid, we used to have box turtle races. So, good times.
I didn't see a box turtle until I went to a reptile expo.
Really?
Yeah.
They're cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're awesome. I feel like you see Russian tortoises a lot. But,
oh, yeah.
But box turtles are really cool. They're cool looking and they're nice and small. So, for little kids, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so yeah, I really like turtles. I'd also, because I'd be wealthy, I'd have at least one person who's helping me take care of all these. I'd probably have like an outdoor person who helps with like the horses and that kind of stuff, because I'd assume I'd be working to make all this money. So I'd probably have them assist me in like...
You're a billionaire that just invests in stock.
Yeah. I would also get bored if I wasn't working, so...
Same.
But then I mean, hopefully a job that I actually enjoy, but... Yeah, so I would probably have someone help me. I'd probably have someone come in to help with the reptiles and fish, too, because I'd also really want to have some big fish tanks. Because I'm a weird person who wants to have a really big, like, 100-plus gallon fish tank just to have tropical community.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can have such a nice variety, and you have your bottom dwellers, and then your, like, mid-level, and then your high, you know, your top swimmers. So I want to have all that. I don't know if I'd go salt water, because it's just so much... But I'd have someone else taking care of it, so maybe.
I need to tackle salt water because...
I know, you have a whole thing on that. But I would definitely have some big fish tanks. I also really want to... I think I've asked you this before. Do fish see color? Because I really want to have a purely black and white bathroom. Everything is black and white. And I want to have a little fish tank in there with, like, some mollies.
Mm-hmm.
Some, like, white mollies, some black mollies, and then some Dalmatian mollies. So everything is black and white. But their decorations would be black and white, too.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do that if that would upset the fish.
I am pretty positive at least some do, because there are species that are sexually dichromic.
Okay.
So males and females are different colors.
I wonder if they would be cool if it was like gray.
Yeah.
That'd probably be boring. Yeah. Okay, anyway, that would be a really cool
and
thing.
And color is kind of would be important for like species identification with some individuals.
Okay.
So I'm pretty positive they can.
Then it probably wouldn't work.
That's... I think that might be more of a mammal thing. With color.
I'm going to have to look into it because it'd be really cool if I could do that. But I don't want to make the fish unhappy. So I definitely have fish and then, and then just a pet room. And I'd also have off the pet room, I'd have the aviary. Probably have to put a dog run in between the aviary and the cattery.
Yeah.
I assume, but I want to have a cattery because I've grown up in the country and we had indoor outdoor cats. And, you know, that works out to various degrees of success. So, a couple cats were very successful and lived long lives, and a couple were not. So, we usually would do the we wouldn't let them out until like 2 hours after dawn and then get them in 2 hours before dusk situation. But I'd like to be able to have cats that can go outside, but I know they're not going to be wandering and they'll be in a cattery. So anyway, so yeah, those are the pets that I would have. I think that's pretty much all of them. Oh, and I want to have a chameleon because they're so cool, but they're such a pain.
I had one. He passed away a few months earlier this year. Most difficult reptile.
That's the problem. But they're so cool. But
they also don't live very long.
Oh, really? How long do they live?
Depends on the species, but usually between 2 and 8 years.
Oh, that's annoying. I wouldn't want to have it die that soon. That'd be really sad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's like these pygmy dwarf chameleons.
Yeah.
They have like lifespans similar to insects. They die within months.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
That would make me so, so sad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be its natural course, but I'd still be sad.
Like, I have an idea. Like, I love orb weavers, spiders.
Mm-hmm.
They're the one, think of Charlotte's Web.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Those kind of spiders. You see them outside with the big old circular spider webs. Mm-hmm. The thing is, they have an annual life cycle, and Charlotte in
Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web. Is accurate. They live for a year. They have that whole cycle, and it's like they have their babies, then they die.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, I have the orb weavers are starting to finish up their growth spurts and make their final days.
Aww.
Like, I saw one with an egg case already.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's their almost done time.
Mm-hmm.
I do like snakes, but I don't want to have to deal with feeding them. So that's my choice.
I'm fine with feeding them. I give frozen thawed.
But it makes me sad because I also really love mice.
Mm-hmm.
Mice are kind of stinky, but they're really cute. They're super freaking cute. And rats are actually really good pets, too.
Oh, yeah. They're wicked smart.
Yeah, they're really awesome. But, so it's just kind of tough for me to feed a snake, but I do like snakes.
Yeah.
So, what would you have?
I would definitely have several more snake species.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're going to need a backup generator just for your reptile room.
Yes. One of my friends has a reptile room. I'm so jealous. I really want a reptile room.
Yeah.
I want to have one of the giant species of tortoise that I will keep in a pen in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. So who are you leaving that to?
Huh?
Until they live a long time.
I don't know. I'm probably not going to have kids or grandkids I foresee in my future.
Leaving it to a nephew or something, a niece?
I'm not sure if my siblings are going to have kids. It's the problem.
Hey, we better get that planned out.
Allie, are you planning on having kids?
I mean, I would like to, but I'm not a spring chicken, as they say.
I'll find someone.
You're going to have to like, talk to like a zoo or something in advance and be like, hey.
Yeah. Well, I would want to adopt one. There's a lot of sulcata tortoises.
Yeah.
There's a San Diego Turtle and Tortoise Society. They have a bunch because people get them as like little baby tortoise.
Baby
and then they don't realize they get to like 200 pounds.
Big.
Yeah.
How would you evacuate that?
You target train them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. They do it at the zoo. They have like different,
now,
it's like
right,
follow them. Same thing with monitors. That one reptile I really love is like, I love monitors. Philosophically, I don't think I would purposely get one, maybe adopt one, because they're very difficult to breed.
Okay.
And if you do get a captive bred one, most of them are several thousands of dollars.
Woo!
Yeah.
But you're going to be rich at this point.
Yeah. So I could do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's some of the bigger species, like Asian water monitors are probably most coolest ones. But one that is reasonable and I could theoretically get if I had the space for it is an Aki's monitor. It gets like 2.5 feet long, I think. It's a medium size. There's some really tiny monitors. And they act like just like the big ones, except they eat little prey.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, monitors are cool because they're like really active reptiles compared to other ones, kind of like dogs and cats. And that kind of matches up with their metabolism because they eat a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do also like bearded dragons. They're really cool. They're just chill.
I'm not crazy. Like, them being chill and just hang out with you, yeah. I was like, I'm not crazy about them.
I think they're
cool. I don't know. It's probably because I grew up seeing them all the time.
Around them, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. There's some... I would want to have a big pond for my aquatic turtles.
Okay. You're all reptiles.
I love reptiles. I also... I'm going to have... I would... So, fish room, obviously.
Yep.
Going to... I'm not a huge fan of lizards all that much. There's a handful I like.
Yeah, I think they're cool to look at, but it'd be difficult to deal with.
Yeah. But yeah, I absolutely love turtles and tortoises. There's a reason I am the contact I am in one of my friend's phone is the humanoid turtle. They're just so cool.
They are. I really like turtles.
I love turtles and tortoises.
They're great.
Yeah. And let's see. I would also have a fish room along with a reptile room.
Yep.
And I would like to have big, giant aquariums. Mm-hmm. I would especially want a live reef tropical aquarium.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. It's and cats. Huh?
Cats? You like
I
cats?
Would. I would have cats. I'm not. Dogs are so much work. So there's yes. So I would have the help, and I would have a few dogs.
Yeah.
Like my ideal is 1-to-1 ratio of dogs and cats. Maybe 2-to-1 in favor of cats.
Yeah, I'd say probably 2-to-1.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd probably go about even.
Because
I
had the cats I remember the longest were siblings. So I had 2 of them.
Yeah.
And that was for years and years. So I always have an idea of multiple cats.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like one dog. Because when I had a dog, it was just one dog that I can remember.
Oh, I like having at least 2 because they can mm-hmm. play with each other.
Yeah. See.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Back to the... So, salt water.
Yeah.
I would have, like, a tank for sharks.
That'd be cool.
There are, like, these smaller cat sharks and dogfish. Ones that I like are bamboo sharks and epaulette sharks.
I want a shark tank. That's yeah. amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see some people recommend having that want, like, sharks, and they don't realize... Like the sharks they want is like you can't have because
yeah.
they get too big.
Yeah,
like I remember watching Tanked once, and there was some football player, I think he was, and he wanted a great white shark. It's like AZA aquariums can't even keep those guys.
Yeah. No, that's not gonna work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Funny. I would also have the cattery for cats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
yep. mm-hmm. And philosophically, I don't know if I'd agree with it because my ideals with shopping for certain breeds of cats. But one cat breed I absolutely love and could not afford is a Toyer.
Toyer, yeah.
Yes.
They're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They were really popular for a while, and I have not heard about them in a long time.
And it's like
Bengals. They're cool.
Yeah.
Actually, we had one of ours. Did you have more animals?
You can go on.
So I lived out in the boonies, so mm-hmm. one thing that happens in the boonies is animals just show up. Sometimes people dump them, sometimes they get lost, whatever. I think the majority of the dogs we had, most of the pets I think we had growing up, I guess about half, just showed up. So one dog, we had a neighbor who just, it's so sad, we just left her chained up all day. Mm-hmm. So she would get loose. We used to call her the pencil neck geek. And we had a 6-foot-tall fence. She would jump it. She was young. She's a Manchester Terrier mix, which is like a medium-sized dog. And we came home like 3 times, and we had 2 black lab mixes. And there's a third dog in the fence where they're like, what the heck is going on? So, yeah, she saw them. She was somewhere near us, and she saw our dogs and was like, I want to go play with them. So it happened like 3 times. The guy was finally like, just take her. So we got her that way. That's also the dog that saved my mom from the tarantula by sniffing its foot. She was a good dog. And then, but she was an escape artist because she could just clear that fence. I was like, how do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a cat. So I really like Abyssinians.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a cat that moved into our garage. And then also, I don't know what idiot. You're out in the boonies. She was still a kitten. I mean, she was still like adolescent. She's like 6 months. She had a neon pink glow-in-the-dark collar with a bell. So the hillside next to our house, I referred to as Coyote Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So many coyotes. And also, coyotes out there do not care. You're out there, they don't care. They're like, mm-hmm. whatever. I don't care that you're a human and you're here, which is kind of scary. And they're also very large. So we adopted her. But and then my mom's coworker, her husband was a vet, and he came over one day and he was like, that's like a super rare cat because she's a Blue Point Abyssinian. Usually mm-hmm. the brown ones. Or I think they're called red. But I was like, well, shouldn't have any papers. And she just moved in, so. But she was a really good kitty. But anyway, yeah. So, so pets sometimes you just get them. They just move in. I'd also want to adopt some, like, probably miniature horses that were seniors that just get overlooked. Or some senior animal that would just be a pet because I'm wealthy and I can.
I would also want some piggies.
Yeah, pigs are so cute.
Yeah, I follow,
I want bunnies too.
I'm pretty sure it's called Better Piggies on Instagram. It's like a rescue because like people get
the
micro teacup pigs.
Yeah,
and it
does not exist, people.
Yeah, no. They'll get to be at least 100 pounds.
Yeah, that's a lie because I really wanted a micro pig.
Mm-hmm.
So warning, people, I did some research. That doesn't exist. They're just underfeeding the pig.
Yeah, and breeding them very young.
Yeah, it's really bad.
But
don't get a micro pig.
Back to the cats. Yep. I remember watching, I think it was Vox, did a story, video on cat breeders. And, like, the obsession with some of the cat breeders is insane because, like, the person that has bred the tiger, they want it to look identical to a tiger, but miniature. And it's like, how are you expecting to do this? And it's like...
I feel like cat breeders are...
Any kind of breeders,
species
really.
Species of their own. That's
yeah.
true.
Because, like...
Also, some breeders don't even feed good food.
Oh, yeah.
And then they sell.
That's what I noticed, like working at.
For like thousands of dollars. I'm like, you're not even giving them good food.
Yeah.
You're giving them crap food.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I noticed. Like, the people that I saw buying the really expensive purebred dogs are the ones that were also buying the worst, cheapest food.
Yeah.
And it's like, you just spent thousands of dollars on a dog and you're
giving McDonald's.
Yeah. Also, why are you coming to a pet store to buy this? You can get it cheaper at
like
a grocery store.
Yeah. Or a Target or something.
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, it's... Yeah. That's a whole other thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should do a pet food thing. Something.
Yeah.
Like a guide of pet food. Just, and you don't have to believe the hype, like just quick little summary. You don't have to believe the hype of like grain-free and all the other various things that trends that happen. It's mostly just... go look at the ingredients and make sure it's not just full of shit.
Yeah.
That's basically what you need to do. And also, if your dog has any allergies, make sure, like, especially if your dog has a chicken allergy, you might, like, buy a bag of lamb and rice or whatever and think, oh, this isn't chicken. There's probably chicken fat in it, so you gotta check all those. Anyway.
I remember I had to help someone that dog was allergic to so many different proteins. It's like, can't have chicken, can't have any kind of poultry, can't have duck, can't have lamb, can't have beef. It took me forever to find a fish for them.
I think, yeah, I have one similar. I think we had to go with a salmon.
Yeah. Like, it was a fresh pet refrigerated food, and it was salmon and other kinds of fish.
Yeah, some dogs have crazy allergies.
Yeah. And what's crazy is, like, it drives me nuts, like, how many foods it's like. It's like lamb and rice or something like that. And it's like, yes, it does have lamb, but then it's chicken underneath it.
Under it. It's so stupid,
yeah.
I know. So, I mean,
then,
like, if you just want the flavor lamb, then great.
Yeah.
But if you have an allergy, then you have to you have to check. Just read the ingredients. That's the main thing. Read the ingredients. I had someone come in and thought that Beneful was a really healthy food.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, props to Beneful's marketing department, but...
That's the thing you have to give those companies. They're good with their advertisements
and
marketing.
Yeah, marketing is great.
Like, I can't lie. I love the Meow Mix commercials.
Yeah, they're pretty great.
And the IAMS commercials. It's like, I am who I am. I am...
See, I never
something
watch
like
live
that.
TV, so I never see IAMS commercials.
Yeah, it's like...
Also, Fancy Feast. They make it seem so nice, but that's also crap.
I
also,
know.
It stinks.
Yeah.
Have you ever opened Fancy Feast? It stinks.
Yeah, I remember stalking it,
I've
and, like,
it.
The cans cracked.
Yeah, I've done it when I had my cat just refuse to eat anything else. And I was like, well, you're 17, so eat what you're going to eat at this point, I guess. But, anyway.
Yeah. And the last thing I have to mention.
Yes.
I would want a duck pond.
That sounds great.
Yes.
I'm gonna add that.
One of my friends already has a little mini duck pond, and she has ducks, and it's like, no fair.
My only concern is because I would like to have kids in this fantasy world where I guess in the next 5 years, I'm going to be rich. Or I guess I don't have to have this house immediately, but like because you have to have the water safety hazard issues, everything has to be fenced.
Yeah.
So I don't want to have to fence off a duck pond. I guess I could just be off the koi pond.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, pool.
Oh, I love a koi pond, too.
Cool. Pool. It would be a cool pool. I already know the design of my pool, too. It's pretty freaking great. Pool, koi pond, and then duck pond that all have to be fenced. So that a child does not fall into it. Or dogs, either. Sometimes animals fall into it.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. So that was, that was a long rabbit trail on my daydreaming. That's what I do when I'm bored.
Yeah.
And I don't have things to do. So... Well, somebody give us a lot of money so we can make this happen.
It'll be our new headquarters.
Oh my gosh. Can we please? And then we'll, yeah, I do in my dream house. I literally like kind of just wrote out the rooms I'd want to have in my dream house. One of the rooms would be a music studio. So also podcasting.
Yeah.
Would be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, then we could podcast from my super awesome recording studio. I also want to, anyway, that's a whole other show. That doesn't have nothing to do with animals. So but yes. So, into what we're actually supposed to be talking about. I believe you said you had something that you wanted to bring up today, right?
Yes. So this is an article that was published back in the beginning of August.
Okay.
And it's titled, "Why Are Some Endangered Species Ignored?" Yeah.
Why are they, Casey?
Well, so first it starts off with this animal. They call it the Tasmanian gremlin. It's not its actual name. It's the Rondo, I don't know how to pronounce that name, dwarf galago. It's a... That's a bit. I'm going into it.
All right, okay.
It's a small primate that is related to lemurs lorises.
So it sounds like it's probably cute, so why is it getting ignored?
Well, it's at critically endangered, and...
Oh, no. I've never heard of it. It's critically endangered.
That's exactly. Terrible. And so one of the problems is a lot of animals that are endangered that are ignored mostly lack charisma.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so like... I'll go into the charisma problem in a bit, but... one of the organizations that they talk about quite a bit in this article is one we've talked about, and that is the Edge of Existence program from the Zoological Society of London. And like I've said this before.
It was environment, no, something ecologically distinct?
No.
Dang it, evolutionarily.
Yes.
Distinct, globally, edge. Globally.
E. That dreaded E.
Endangered?
Yes.
Okay.
So their goal is to protect species that represent distinct evolutionary branches of life and are endangered of being wiped off the face of the planet. And so when you think of, like when I was saying the charismatic animal, so typically, these are the animals you instinctively think of.
Like a tiger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tigers, lions, leopards, bears. Like the big cuddly things. Yeah. Basically, what they break it down to is like, if you think of it as an animal in a kid's book, it's okay. Probably a charismatic animal.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And there's quite a bit of discrepancies between species. So... one of the things is overwhelming majority of conservation programs do not assess the amount of attention different animals are getting. And so they actually do assess this and have categories that are get broken down to very low, medium, and good conservation attention. And they found that 70% of high-priority edge species are receiving insufficient conservation attention.
70%, you said?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. They have a couple hundred species, so not all the species they have been classified, obviously. Right. But so when they say has insufficient conservation attention, basically what that means is they do not either don't have an action plan for the species or that it's very outdated and they are receiving little to no research.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And
meaning they're not getting funding for research?
Yes.
Okay.
Funding for research and any kind of research in general. Yeah. So over half of the mammals are receiving low or very low attention.
Wow. And mammals, I feel like, are the most popular.
Yes. Yeah, but keep in mind on these lists, it's not going to be like tigers, lions, leopards.
Right.
There might be some cats. I haven't checked the whole list because there's like 200 some species for mammals, I think.
You're welcome, cats, that some cats domesticated themselves, and that's probably why we care about you more.
Yeah. We're going to get into a bit more of why we decide some animals matter more.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, and like you said, mammals tend to be more charismatic, and
yeah.
It gets worse for the other animals. So, 42% of birds are getting insufficient attention. Okay. 53% of amphibians, mm-hmm. 62% of reptiles, and 67% of coral.
Oh, yeah, because coral's not, it's yeah. not secondary.
It's beautiful. That's why.
Literally, it sits there.
Yeah. And there's a huge caveat with these numbers, and that is the fact that all edge species have been assessed by the International Union of Conservation of Nature Red List. Okay. And keep in mind that obviously has not assessed all known species, mm-hmm. and it's severely lacking, in my opinion. Okay. So in some species, it's good, like nearly all birds have been assessed, 90% of mammals. Then it gets worse for other groups. Only 70% of reptiles, only 10% of flowering plants, okay. and less than 1% of insects.
Well, so many insects.
Yes. So in all, only 5% of described species have been assessed by the IUCN Red List.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. So there's a lot of endangered species that we probably don't even know about and that are receiving absolutely no attention at all. Right. Yeah. And like I said, there is a hierarchy in terms of animals with charisma. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they state animals in children's books, those tend to be almost always charismatic animals.
Right.
My reference is, think of the animal you want to go see for a set when you go to a zoo. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at you, mother. My mom loves big cats.
Yeah, big cats are fun, my number one.
Yeah.
Shame on you. And canids.
Yeah.
I wish I remembered what it was when I was a kid, though. That'd be interesting to see what it was when I was a kid. Yeah. I'm still tired.
Yeah. So in general, when it comes to charismatic animals, larger, cuter, and more well-known mm-hmm. are on top of the charisma hierarchy. Mammals mm-hmm. do best, followed by birds.
Okay.
And then terrestrial animals do better than aquatic and marine species.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's still some caveats to this, because mammals like rodents and bats get very little conservation.
Oh.
And then large reptiles like crocodiles, sea turtles tend to get good levels of attention, but then there's like small species of lizards and smaller ambiguous snake species are typically ignored.
Poor guys.
Yes.
I just find it funny that it's a high charisma, because I'm just thinking now, like, elephants and tigers have like an mm-hmm. 18 charisma score in D&D stats, whereas like this little lizard has like a 4.
Oh yeah.
So sad. Incorporate yep. that D&D. See if their charisma scores are right.
Yeah. And there can be an obvious dilemma with these discrepancies, because this puts a significant strain on animals that are in poor countries.
Yeah.
Because rich countries that can support conservation at the government level tend to invest in their own endemic species,
right.
which are species that are only found there, as opposed to endemic species elsewhere.
Right.
Like United States, we invest in California condors, gray wolves, several other of our own species, whereas we're not probably going to be paying attention to pangolins over in Africa and Asia. Yeah. And another problem with this is the fact that the greatest diversity of species are in the tropics, which mm-hmm. tend to be amongst the poorest nations yeah. in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if they ever receive any kind of conservation, it's typically sporadic.
Yeah.
They'll get some conservation for a very short interval of time, and a lot of times, because these are lesser known species, it's just basic biology on the animals, because there's like literally nothing known about them.
Gotcha.
For example, you didn't know what a Galago was.
Nope, never heard of that.
Even though it's primate, which in theory should be doing better in terms of charisma.
I mean, to be fair, I don't know a lot of primates, but yes, yeah. theoretically it should be doing mm-hmm. better.
Yeah. And then there's also the problem with the fact that most people see conservation as a charity rather than the essential service.
Gotcha, that makes sense. Yeah.
So, and that's very bad, because according to Giving USA, mm-hmm. charities for animals and the environment get less than any other kind of charity.
Really? That's
yes.
almost the only thing I donate to. And
same.
I write that off in my taxes every year.
Yeah. And then, so back to the big charisma animals that get too much attention.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a idea in terms of how they can help these lesser known species, which I'm going to critique because they're occasionally called these umbrella species, mm-hmm. where basically by helping these animals, you're preserving their habitat.
Which will help other animals.
Yes. But then the problem is human encroachment is causing a lot of fragmentation of these habitats.
Okay.
And so because they're becoming fragmented, there's no real way to preserve the micro habitats that exist within their home ranges.
Right, yeah.
And there's also problems like you're assuming these lesser known non-charismatic species live in the same areas as the large charismatic animals.
Okay.
And also when you can have animals that exist in the same environment and just preserving habitat is not enough to save the species.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there's these two birds in Samoa. One, I'm pretty sure this is pronounced Mau.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was going to try to pronounce the scientific name, but I'm going to butcher it so bad. And one of its conservation needs is better control with the invasive rat population.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the toothbill pigeon. Again, lives in Samoa, same area. And what it needs help with, along with the rat population, is controlling other invasive species and better hunting regulations.
Yep.
And like I said earlier, not all charismatic species have these animals that are lesser known living in the same environment.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then the same thing that they might need might not even be what the smaller animal needs. It's not the same as what the bigger animal needs.
Correct.
So that's because the invasive rat problem is not going to be a problem for the bigger animals.
Yeah. Like, let's see. There's like I said, most obvious example is with umbrella species is conserving their habitat saves their species. But then, just as an example, one problem we have in several areas in the United States is the fact that hunters will use lead bullets.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they go out hunting and then there's these lead fragments of lead, which is toxic,
yeah.
The animals ingest it and then they die. And then there's mm-hmm. going to be scavengers and other carnivores that eat it. There's going to be accumulation of
yeah.
toxins in their bodies and it spreads and gets worse.
Right. We're just the worst.
Yep.
That's another thing in this fantasy world that if I had a lot of money, I would want to, like, join up with other people who have money and just buy a ton of land all over the place to set up as nature preserves.
Oh, yeah.
But in the poorer nations, though, it's not like you can just do that because you also have to treat the people around there and more the cause of it. If, you know, people going out to farm is because they need to make money
yeah.
and survive. So you have to address that issue so that you can take mm-hmm. care of them so that then they don't need to go out and...
Yeah. There's, like, I'll take a charismatic species, rhinos.
Mm-hmm.
They're being poached for their horns. And the way that's going to have to be fixed is by changing the culture of the people that are buying the rhino horns.
Right.
And it's
also, that's annoying because the different uses they say that's for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could see someone who's desperate with cancer who's mm-hmm. thinking, oh, this is going to cure cancer. But they also say it's used for an aphrodisiac. Like, you need a rhino horn to get it on.
Yeah. Well, again, that has to dive into the culture because they
right.
grew up for, like, you had just some common ailment, and it's like your grandmother gives you a few bucks, you go down and pick up some rhino horn.
But it's still crazy because you know that that's a limited resource,
mm-hmm.
even if they weren't horribly endangered. That's mm-hmm. a limited resource, so why would you do that on something that's not... I mean, first of all, it doesn't do anything. Like, first thing, it's useless. Don't do it. But,
just chew on your fingernails.
But I just... Yeah, there you go. But I just... I don't see why you would do that for something like an aphrodisiac or something so stupid like that versus...
Eat oysters.
Yeah, there's other options. Or, I don't know, maybe just you weren't intended to, you know, do that at this time. Or get medication if you really need it. But, like, you know, I don't know. That just drives me nuts. I'm like, I can't imagine taking life from an animal for something stupid like that
mm-hmm.
versus, like, again, if you were, you know, had cancer and you thought that was going to do it, then mm-hmm. that's like a, you know, you're just desperate, so you're trying whatever, but anyway.
Yeah.
But don't do it. It's useless.
But then you can look at an area where we actually do it for substance reasons is, like, fishing.
Yeah.
We have...
For eating them.
Yeah. We have depleted the fish stocks in some areas by over 90%.
Which is really bad.
Yeah.
It has to be regulated.
Yeah. And then a lot of times what they're doing with these trawl nets is just to get these smaller bait fish to feed animals like tuna in the fish farms.
Yeah.
And like there was this idea, it's like the ocean's way too big and immense for us to have a everlasting damage. And it's like there's some populations of fish where it's like if we don't take action, they're going to go extinct.
It's really bad. It's mm-hmm. really frustrates me that people don't care about it. Yeah. Like, even if you don't care about them, you should care about yourself because yeah. it's going to affect us.
Yeah, because they actually cover that in the Our Planet. Mm-hmm. With fish stocks being depleted so much, so now what's starting to replace them is squid.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Because that fish prey on squid. They're also a competitor for resources.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're just, and populations are increasing like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed this clip, which is so weird to watch because I'm used to them eating like anchovies, but sea lions going through a swarm of squid to eat. It's like, because squid are not nutriently dense, really. Fish are, especially like anchovies and sardines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah. Well, that's sad for these poor animals.
Yes, but there is a second part in that series
okay.
that does go over some positives that can happen.
Okay.
And one solution to help some of these species, two things they need is better photographs.
Yeah.
Because some of the animals don't have photographs at all.
Right.
You can Google some of them, go to their Wikipedia page, and there's no image. Yeah. And sometimes if there is an image, it's just a preserved specimen.
Mm, yeah.
And some species don't have a common name. It's hard.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, it's hard to get people to care about an animal when you just give this Latin name that yeah. is gibberish to most people.
They should call it like super cuddly stuff.
Yeah. Too. Well, that's what they do. Sometimes they'll give them names that are in reference to celebrities
or
movie characters.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a viper that was recently discovered. I'm pretty sure it's called the Slytherin pit viper.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's one thing that can help. And another thing that helps them a lot is zoos.
Right.
Because sometimes for a lot of these organizations, their sole source of funding is zoos.
Yeah.
Like there's one woman that heads a program that helps to conserve the giant armadillo.
Mm-hmm.
And her major funder is a lot of the AZA accredited zoos, even though none of them have giant armadillos.
But that's who can get any money, though,
mm-hmm.
are the zoos. So yeah. That makes sense.
Yep. Biggest solution is that there's going to need to be government involvement. And exactly, the eye roll.
Yeah.
It's like, Marine Mammal Protection Act was easy. Whales are very charismatic, beautiful yeah. animals. You can fall in love with them easily. Much worse things are being done to sharks on an unimaginable scale.
Well, also because there's so much bad press around sharks, yeah. which isn't fair.
It's like very easy to get people to care about whales. Getting them to care about sharks is very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, and insects is going to be very difficult because...
Yeah, because they're definitely not cute and cuddly. And
I think they're cute.
Pests. Well, a lot of, like, rodents, insects, mm-hmm. things like that yeah. are pests, so those animals yeah. are always...
And if you look at the insects that do receive conservation attention, take a guess at to which ones. Butterflies and bees.
Oh, bees. Well, yeah. we need bees.
Yeah, we do. But the problem is a lot of people focus almost solely on honeybees.
Yeah.
First off, honeybees are actually not native to California.
Okay.
They come from Europe. A lot of our bee species are actually solitary,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them do not produce honey.
You've said this before.
Yes.
But who cares about the honey? We care about the pollination. That's
yes, but some people think about the honey because, like, what are they giving directly to me? And it's hard for people to make.
They're giving you
exactly,
food.
But it's hard for people to make the connect. Like this tiny little insect
yeah.
that looks like it shouldn't be able to fly
yeah.
is responsible for a third of our food production.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. People,
yeah.
I don't know why people don't understand that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do love honey
yeah.
too, but yeah. also I've heard, I'm gonna have to look into this,
mm-hmm.
that if you get honey that is sourced from your general area, it's supposed to help with like allergies and stuff because it has. Mm-hmm. it's coming from plants and, you know, shit around your area.
I've not heard of that one.
I have to look into it. Obviously, yeah. I don't know if that's just a health food thing.
Probably.
Or if that's actually...
Any kind of, like, organic and those kinds of labels, like, this is just a marketing scheme. But yeah, and there's other pollinators that are not bees and butterflies. There's various beetles, and even some flies pollinate.
We need to save all the pollinators.
Yeah. And beetles are especially important because that is a plurality of the species on Earth. There's over 350,000 species of beetles.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I love like two.
Yeah. And that's just the ones we know of.
Oh, that's insane.
Oh, yeah. Insects are awesome. Like, there's...
Casey, you're going to get to do an insect podcast. Don't worry. Yes. We're going to... One of these months, I think. Yeah.
But, like...
Maybe October. One of the months has 5 weeks, and you're going to do insects.
I already picked an invertebrate.
Okay. So excited.
Yeah. But if you look, like, the whole biota, all the life on Earth...
Yeah.
The ones that we care about, the vertebrates... And I'm not counting all vertebrates, not just mammals that we actually care about.
Yeah.
All of them... It's only about 2% of life on Earth.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so, so crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yep, so hopefully we can fix things to reprioritize and not just care about pandas.
Our current governmental.
Me and one of my friends are one of the biggest critics for, like, panda conservation. Like, pandas cost 7 times more than elephants.
Yeah, well... Pandas are cool, but they're also a national symbol for a country, so that's part of why they get so much attention.
Mm-hmm.
Here in America, we're not great about it.
Yeah, animals just meat.
National animal anyway.
We killed our state animal.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and that's actually one the main reason we have black bears, is once our California grizzlies went extinct, black bears moved in to take their niche. Mm-hmm.
It's so sad. It's so depressed. There's so many things these days that are depressing. And like.
And when you look at the explosive deer populations in some areas, it's because their predators are no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there was, I'm pretty sure everyone, if you're on Facebook, you've probably seen this video. But it's like of in Yellowstone, they talk about what happened when they brought back the wolves. And it's like, the trees regrow because the wolves were hunting the deer, which were eating all the saplings, so preventing them from growing.
You have to have a healthy ecosystem where it all falls apart. When you take one element out, it just screws things up. But, of course, we can't get politicians to understand that or even the just general mass of people. So it's
we need an independent commission of scientists to make those decisions.
That never happened in the United States.
I know, but...
A boy can dream.
But yeah.
Maybe the state of California might be able to get that in a couple individual states.
That's one of the reasons I love California is like, I don't see myself moving is like, we actually care about our environment.
Yeah,
even though we still do some short fallings like Catalina. Yeah. I've been there. It's bad because they introduced deer for hunting several years ago and they're wrecking the place. Bison. They're awesome. I loved seeing them when I was there, but they're doing what the deer did in Yellowstone. They're eating all the saplings of their native plants and just leveling the place.
It's very depressing. We have a lot of issues to fix in the U.S., though, so environmental stuff, unfortunately, is going to be
And then everything we talk about on land is a drop in the ocean compared to...
The ocean.
Yes.
To the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well... Is it that time for our favorites?
Yes.
All right. So it was Casey's turn to pick
our favorites. So this is...
He threw me for a loop.
Yeah. This is the last week in North America.
Yes, it is. Oh my gosh, I totally didn't even say that. You're right. It is the last week in North America.
Yes. So I decided to end it on an American note.
Yep.
And we are choosing our favorite California native species.
We should say the United States of America because all of it's America.
America.
That is the thing I have to fix. Because I keep saying, oh, I'm American. But it's like, well, any from someone from Ecuador is also American, you idiot. Stop trying to steal the whole thing. Anyway, we are American as far as the United States of America. Mm-hmm. But continue. Yes, so native California species.
Yes.
So you go first.
Alrighty. So
excited already.
Yes, because I love these guys. They're Awesome.
Have you actually seen them in person?
One ran across, when I went to Catalina, one ran across our trail.
All right. I feel like that has to be a qualification. Yeah. A qualification.
Okay. And it is the Channel Island Fox.
I'm also just jealous.
I think most people just call them Island Fox, but
have
I always say.
The Channel Islands?
Yeah, Catalina's one of the Channel Islands.
I didn't think it counted as that.
Yeah.
Good to know. All right, mm-hmm. I've been to Catalina, so I guess I have been. Yeah. I haven't been to the other ones.
It's so cool, like, looking at the ecosystem there, like, when you go there, it's mostly just shrubs and bushes. It's like, it doesn't look like that because there's almost no native trees, so they grow vertically like trees.
Oh, weird.
It makes me appreciate the chaparral ecosystem more. Mm-hmm. I don't appreciate much the mainland.
I need to go back to, we should go to Catalina at some point.
I want to so bad.
Let's do it, when COVID's
especially for snorkeling.
Yeah, I want to go. It sounds amazing. I want to go.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, the islands fox.
Yes.
The Channel Island fox.
Yes. So, its scientific name is Urocyon littoralis. Yes. It is the smallest fox species in North America. And it is about 6 inches tall.
Oh, my gosh. That's tiny.
And 23 to 31 inches long.
Is that with a tail, I assume?
Yes.
That is tiny.
Yeah, they're
it's
small.
It's like here. That's crazy. Yeah. Oh my God, I want to cuddle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they weigh less than 5 pounds.
That's not surprising. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And males are slightly larger than females, but it's not really noticeable.
Okay.
And they're actually an example of what's called insular dwarfism or island dwarfism, okay. Which is where it's usually mammals when they get stuck on an island over millions of years are being isolated on such a small area because there's a lack of resources. The ones that survive are the smaller individuals, so it leads to dwarf species on islands.
That's cool.
Yep.
I mean, sucks for the bigger ones, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's one of the coolest things in evolutionary biology. There's also insular gigantism that's not as common.
Okay.
But there's a ton of examples of dwarfism, and they're one of them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they are what's called endemic species. They are endemic to the Channel Islands, meaning they are found nowhere else on the planet.
Okay.
And there are actually 6 different subspecies that each evolved independently on a separate island. So there's one on San Miguel. Miguel.
I was like, wow.
That is the most whitewashed I've ever done. Good Lord. There's one on Santa Rosa, Santa Cruz, San Nicolas, Santa Catalina, which where I was, and San Clemente.
Okay.
Yeah. Each has their own subspecies of fox.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I have to digress because I remember I asked my professor while I was on my field stories courses, like, what do they primarily prey on? Because there are these ground squirrels on there. They're actually an example of insular gigantism. They are larger than the mainland ones. They're almost as large as
as big as the fox almost?
They're relatively close in size.
That's crazy.
Yeah, not as big as fox, but not they're big enough where a fox is not going to prey on them.
Wow.
It's just too much of a risk.
Wow, okay, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the fox actually was threatened with extinction because bald eagles were actually threatened with extinction on the island.
Okay.
They were almost pretty much completely wiped out. So what happened is, because there was no bald eagles in that territory, golden eagles moved in.
Okay.
There's a key difference between them, not just how they look.
Okay.
Bald eagles are piscivores. They eat fish.
Okay. Yep.
Whereas golden eagles will eat small mammals. And these foxes are not used to having any kind of predators. And so the eagles started hunting them.
Mm-hmm.
And the population plummeted.
Yep.
But then conservationists got to work, got rid of several invasive farm species, helped reintroduce the golden eagles.
The bald eagles.
Yep. The golden eagles moved out, and now their populations have risen.
That's good.
Yeah. And they prey the foxes prey on small mammals, but like I said, not the squirrels. Small birds. There's a lot of bird species there.
Okay.
Like genetically distinct subspecies. There's their own subspecies of quail. It looks the same as the mainland, but genetically they're a distinct subspecies. Hmm. Yeah. And they'll also eat invertebrates and some vegetation. The IUCN Red List classifies the island fox as near threatened. It is all six are listed as threatened by the California Fish and Wildlife. And four of the subspecies are federally listed as endangered.
Okay.
Yep.
They're so cool.
Yes.
They're so cute. I want to see one.
They are so cute. I think they have a couple at the Living Desert.
Okay. We're going to go there sometime, too. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to, like, take podcast field trips.
Oh, yeah.
Go there and, like, the LA Zoo. I probably went when I was, like, three, but I haven't.
I've never been to LA Zoo.
So, great. We'll do that. Mm-hmm. And then let's go to Catalina. I want to go snorkeling and kayaking because I've never been kayaking. Okay. Well, when Casey presented this, was that everything on the little fox?
Yes, that's the awesome island fox.
I had the worst time.
I had to give her a list.
I
gave you a link that gave you lists.
You did, but the animal I wound up going with was one I was already thinking of anyway. But it was just so difficult because I felt like it had to be something that actually, not as I have interacted, but I have seen. And I've never seen a fox, and I'm so disappointed. And then, of course, you took a fox, which would have been, I would have probably chosen a fox. And then, like, a lot of them were aquatic and more, like, ocean-based. And then I just had the worst time with it. So I'm not 100% sure this is my favorite. And I actually do kind of want to say I actually like coyotes, even though they're a pain for people because we're in their territory and they have pets and their issues. But they're pretty cool. So the animal I wound up going with was because I just, every time I'd see them at home when I was a kid or, you know, growing up, they're just so cool to watch. Every time there's one, I just stop and watch it. funny I mentioned coyotes. My animal is the greater roadrunner.
I didn't even think about that till then.
I have not seen a coyote chase one, but I have seen them run, and they're really cool. They are awesome when they run. They're awesome.
I saw one earlier today.
You lucky ducks. You did see some animals. I'm still amazed you haven't seen most of these animals, but but they are just cool looking. They're a unique looking bird anyway, but I just love watching them run. They're pretty awesome. So their scientific name is, I'm going to screw this up just so you know, Geococcyx, something like that. Californianus, us, whatever, something like that. They are about 19 to 24 inches, I guess long.
Yeah.
Because their tail's pretty long. They're about 8 to, well, that's not right. I wrote 103. I'm pretty sure that's 10.3 pounds. That'd be a really scary roadrunner.
Wait, what? No way they're 10.
No, I'm sorry. That's not 8. That's ounces. I meant ounces. Not pounds. That would still be really... That's bigger than a cat. Wow, I'm failing, you guys. Oh, no, there we go again. They mostly eat insects, sometimes small reptiles and rodents and smaller birds and some fruits and seeds occasionally. I have not heard this before, but apparently they have a reputation for hunting rattlesnakes.
Yeah, I remember growing up hearing that a lot.
Yeah, and that's over-exaggerated. Also, living in the boonies, literally never saw that, and I saw roadrunners and rattlesnakes regularly, so that's not a thing. They are native to the southwestern USA and parts of Mexico. They can run 15 miles per hour. I don't know if we've ever looked up stats. Well, most birds don't even run. They, like, hop and fly. So they're pretty quick. Like, that's why I like watching them run, because they're just cool to watch them, like, take off. They are also a monogamous species of bird. And not only are they monogamous, they actually co-parent, which is nice. So dad actually helps with the young, which is great.
I think that's the first bird species we've talked about that's monogamous.
Well, we first of all only talked about one other bird.
I thought we... Didn't we do
Oh, well, because we picked our favorites, but we only covered one as our animal of the week.
I'm not even sure if we looked into breeding behavior on that.
We did. We did?
I know we did for the Cock of the Rock.
Yeah, Cock of the Rock.
But I don't remember for our favorite raptors.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't look at that. We have to do more info on some of those. We kind of failed at some of that, so my bad.
We can do them as animal of week someday.
Yeah, we will. Or something like that. We'll do some catch up.
Because I can go deep into biology.
They are listed as least concern from the IUCN Red List. They have a stable population, although there has been a long-term decline in California, which I'm pretty sure is because we spread out and, you know, get into their territory. But it is really cool to see them.
So. We should have a mandate to kick some people out.
I know. California's terrible. Nobody come here. Like, all the people leaving the state, we don't need replacements.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I have some friends over in Texas.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could not, they're like, I could not live in California.
I could never live in Texas. Okay, I'm sorry. Based on nature, God hates Texas. They have every natural disaster. Every single one. I mean, not, they don't like a volcano. But, like, everything. They get hurricanes. Yeah. They get all of it. I'm like, there's no way. And have you been in Texas in the summer? Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's miserable. Not to mention other things. And let's talk policies. You can just... In Texas, you want a tiger? You can just get a tiger. That is so dumb. Can you imagine? You're just, like, in an apartment, and then you just get eaten by your neighbor's tiger because they got
Well, someone tried to smuggle one in California
yeah,
a couple years ago.
But here it's illegal, at least, so it makes it harder. But in Texas, you can just... You don't even have to have a special license.
Like, what's stupid is we have, like, almost no federal laws regarding imports of exotic animals.
It's insane. So, anyway, I have a massive issue. Yeah. Like, Texas and Florida, they're two really bad ones as far as
Oklahoma,
like,
bad, too.
Probably. But
that's where Joe Exotic was.
Because what?
That's where Joe Exotic was.
That makes sense. I haven't watched that.
I've watched most of it. I think I haven't watched, like, the last one.
Apparently, she's on Dancing with the Stars this.
Oh, yeah, my sister was telling me about that. Yeah. I was like, really? It's like, I don't like either of them. I have problem with both of them.
I don't like either of them either.
Yeah, because, like, Carol Baskin, she tried to get a law passed that would ban any kind of tigers in captivity in the United States. Mm. Yeah.
Then how could she have them?
Well, except for all the no more breeding and anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, that's stupid.
Which is stupid because, like, tigers,
yeah,
spoiler alert, with how they are right now, will not be wiped off the face of the planet. We have sustainable populations of tigers in captivity.
In captivity.
Yes.
Yes.
So that is our insurance.
But that'll be the only place you can see them.
Yeah. Well,
after a while.
Yeah, but plan would be eventually to reintroduce, like we've done with several other species. Like we did California condors, Fridge Volksee's horse, gold lion tamarin. No, wait, not gold lion tamarin. Scimitar horned oryxes. Just with predators is much more difficult.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as we rabbit trail, as per usual.
We should count how many rabbit trails we do per episode.
So many. I should. We should do like Critical Role, just like Critical Role stats. I should be like, how many times does Alex say, guys? what do you do? I don't know what you do. And then our rabbit trails, because at least now you're doing it too, and it's not just me. I'm happy about that. I have infected you with my rabbit trailing.
Good lord.
But yes, so Roadrunners, they're really cool. They look cool, and I had a horrible time choosing an animal. But they were in my, like, top list from the beginning. I was like, oh, a Roadrunner might be an option. So, because they're just cool to, you know, look at as a kid. And also, I remember growing up in the boonies, like, it's kind of good, like, you have to be aware of your surroundings because there are animals that can actually hurt you and some that might be like, oh, you suck at defending yourself. I can eat you. You're an easy meal. Mm-hmm. Coyotes are not likely to watch people, but if you are with a pack of coyotes, it's not great. And we have mountain lions out there, and I never saw them, but we did have neighbors who'd see them. Usually they're out on a trail ride, but...
I remember one time, I think I was... Might have been up in Big Bear, but I was camping... I was staying with cousins or something somewhere, and we were walking down the road, and there's this golf course up on the hill, and there's a pack of coyotes just sitting there, and then we start walking along, and then they start walking along.
Oh, that would be weird.
Yeah, they were walking ahead of us, though, I think. Oh, like, they weren't following us.
They were probably trying to stay away from you.
Yeah.
But the ones where I grew up, they're just so used to people, they just did not care. Yeah.
I see them a lot where I'm from.
Yeah.
Unfortunately... As roadkill sometimes.
Yeah, that is sad. So mountain lions, so sometimes I would walk from like a friend's house or their house at night, and I'd always just be like, oh, there could be a mountain lion out there. Because literally my house backed up to like a hillside that was just wildlife, and there weren't any houses for a little while. I'm sure it's not like that now, because that town went crazy with development, which is ugh. Anyway, so you had to be aware of that. Back then, I went camping once, And it was early in the morning, and I'm an old lady, so I have to have an air mattress now to sleep on the ground, or I won't sleep. It's really bad. So I, like, have my air mattress shoved against the edge of the tent so everybody else can fit comfortably. And I'm sleeping, so my head is close to the... I'm doing the, like, classic sleeping hands. I've never slept like that in my life. And I'm sleeping, so my face is kind of close to the edge of the tent, and there's something on it, and I hear panting, and I'm like, what the hell is going on out there? And then I was just like, what the hell? And then, like, a nose kind of comes in, like, the impression of a nose kind of comes in. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So, like, wake up my friend next to me, like, oh, there's something out there. And, like, I hear panting, and it's, like, circling our tent. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, okay, I don't think there's bears here, and that doesn't sound like it'd be a bear. I feel like it'd be heavier and probably not running around our tent. So I try to go back to sleep, and then literally the, like, tent sides are being pushed in by something sniffing, and I'm like, I don't think it'd be a dog. That's weird. Mm. So when I finally got out later, I realized there was, like, a little, like, squirrel or ground squirrel den thing that was 4 feet away from our tent. But they were coyotes. They were coyotes that were circling around. I'm like, you are a brazen coyote shoving your face into my tent. And I was like, what the hell is this? I also had another rabbit trail. My dad knew someone once who went camping with some nature group. I don't think it was Sierra Club, but it was something like that. And they went camping, and it was like single-person tents, and it was cold. And in the middle of the night, something, and she's pretty sure it was either, I forget which it was. I'll have to ask my dad. It was coyote or a mountain lion. She's pretty sure it curled up next to her at night because it wanted warmth. So it was on the outside of the tent, but it literally curled up next to her. So she was just kind of like, okay, I'll just hold still. But yeah, so sometimes camping can be a little stressful. But yeah, anyway, so yes. So the Channel Island Fox and the Roadrunner, the Greater Roadrunner, I should say. But yes, never seen a coyote chase one. I guess they could theoretically catch it, but they're pretty agile too, so I doubt it. Yeah. So yeah, that brings us to our Animal of the Week.
Yes, it does.
And this week's Animal of the Week is...
The Wolverine.
Yay, the Wolverine. And
not the X-Men.
Same joke. Wow. Oh my god, I just blinked Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman. I can't believe I blinked on his name. That's terrible. Oh, wait, ready? I just almost blinked on Hugh Jackman's name.
Oh god.
You cat to be kidding me. Anyway, I said I do too. Continue, Casey. Sorry.
All right. So these guys come from the family Mustelidae, which basically is the weasel family. It includes badgers, otters, minks, and they're from the genus Gulo. Yep. And they are the only species in that genus.
Okay.
And their species name is Gulo Gulo.
Oh my god, I love them. Gulo Gulo.
Hold on, it gets better. There's two subspecies.
Okay.
There's the North American Wolverine, which is Gulo Gulo luscus. Then there's the European Wolverine.
Yeah.
Which is Gulo Gulo Gulo.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Okay.
Differences between them, primarily genetic. Physically, they look identical.
Okay.
Yeah. So, these guys live primarily in boreal forests, which think of pine trees. That's basically boreal forests.
Cool.
And tundra, which tundra is further north. That is basically almost completely treeless. The ground is literally frozen. Which is called permafrost. There's basically only shrubs, and it's a lot of snow.
Okay.
Think of caribou. That's where they live.
Yep.
And they're found in northern region of Canada, Europe, and Asia.
Okay.
In North America, the range extends as far south as the Sierras in good old California.
Wow, I didn't know. What? We have them in California?
Yes, in the Sierras.
Mind blown. I thought they were just Canadian.
Nope.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yep. Yep, as well as mountain ranges in the Pacific coast.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is nuts. I guess I didn't realize they were higher elevation type animals either.
Oh, yeah. So in the wild, they have an average lifespan about 5 to 7 years.
Ooh, that's not great.
As high as 13 years in captivity. They're not very common in captivity, but they can get up to 17 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And they are the largest of the weasel family. Their body is about 26 to 34 inches long, and the tail is an additional 7 to 10 inches.
Okay.
And they can weigh from 24 to 40 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty big. They're beefy.
They're not joking around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they are an omnivorous species. They tend to have diet changes depending on season. They will eat more vegetation in the summer.
Okay.
But meat makes up a larger proportion of their diet. They'll primarily hunt smaller prey like rabbits and rodents, but they will occasionally hunt prey as large as caribou if it has been injured.
Oh my God!
I know! And what will happen is, like, caribou, when they're running in snow, because of how their feet are just, like, straight down, they'll sink right into the snow, whereas wolverines, they have more widespread padded feet, so they act like snowshoes, and they can walk up to them and take them down.
That is insane.
I know!
How long is it going to take them to eat that?
Well, that's the thing, because it's, like, frozen and cold, they can...
It's like fridge.
Yeah, they'll just bury it, come back for later.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's why they have a reputation for being scary.
Oh, yeah. They will also scavenge off of other carnivores. They actually act in the ecosystem as a fairly large mammalian carnivore.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, they are very bulky and strong.
Mm-hmm.
They're also very aggressive for their size.
Okay.
Not just because of the caribou, but they have been known to chase off wolves, cougars, and bears.
Wait, like a pack of wolves?
Pretty sure just a few.
Okay.
But
cougars and bears.
Yeah.
Can you imagine chasing like a cougar?
I know.
I mean, I guess people can scare them off, but we're big.
Like, they're the honey badgers of North America.
They also have a chihuahua complex, but they can back it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these guys, how they walk is in a form called they're basically plantigrade, which means they walk on their feet. Yeah, and that is very characteristic of the suborder they come from. Because
most things walk on their feet?
No. Backtrack to classification.
Okay.
They're in the order Carnivora.
Mm-hmm.
And the Carnivorans have two suborders.
Okay.
There's the Caniformia, or Caniforms. Those are the dog-like carnivores. Then there's the Feliforms, cat-like predators. All the Feliforms are digitigrades, which means they walk on their toes.
Oh.
While all the Caniforms, with the exception of canids, are plantigrades and walk on their feet.
So they're walking on like the full foot instead of
instead of their toes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one.
I'm gonna have to watch animals. It's gonna be like the paw prints. I'm gonna have to sit there and like watch cats and dogs walk.
Yeah, I could have.
Dogs, you said, walk on their toes too.
Though. Yeah. Dogs are the only caniform. Okay. Canids are the only caniforms that
so
don't
get
walk on their feet.
Binoculars and watch coyotes.
Yes, walk on their toes. Yeah. And by walking on their feet instead of their toes, it's what I was saying about
like
snowshoes. They don't fall in.
But I feel like bobcats probably walk on their feet because they also have those big freaking feet, so they don't go through the snow.
Yes, they also have a lot of fur on their feet, which helps to distribute the weight as well.
Okay.
And they have expanded toes. And also, when we think of toes, it's probably a bit different because it comes down to the bones.
Right.
Like, the toes would be what we would call fingers, the phalanges, whereas the feet would be the tarsals or carpals, depending on hand or feet. And there is a moderate degree of sexual dimorphism.
Mm-hmm.
Males about 10% longer and 30% heavier than females.
Wow.
Yep. They have a polygynous mating systems. Males will have large territories, and then females will have smaller territories that exist within male territories.
Okay.
And the male will mate with all those females. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, and this is something that's really cool, because I did not know this about these guys. And that is, there's evidence to suggest that wolverines are what is called an induced ovulator.
Does that mean they don't ovulate until they're, like, excited?
Well, there's going to be they won't ovulate until a certain stimulus. In most species, that's the act of copulation or mating.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of nice, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, the theory behind that is the reason that has evolved is there are animals where they will very rarely consistently come in contact with others of their own species. Another example is polar bears, okay. Large areas of land.
Right.
So when you meet up with somebody, you want to make sure you can...
It counts.
That it counts and you will get pregnant and pass on your genes. Mm-hmm. So by inducing ovulation, you can increase the chance of becoming pregnant. And they can actually, there's studies that show they can delay the implantation of the embryo into the uterine wall.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool. And this isn't completely conclusive, but this has also been observed in other mustelids, which is the same family they are. So currently, they are listed as least concerned by the IUCN Red List. Mm-hmm. The population is currently in decline. Their major threat is loss of habitat, which can lead to fragmentation of populations. And they're also threatened by conflicts with farmers.
Okay. Do they go after the livestock?
Probably.
I bet they do.
Probably.
Little nasty things. They are the honey badger.
Yeah. They're tough, man.
Man, this is why they have that added. That's why that character exists. Isn't Logan also Canadian? I think the character of Logan
I think he's Australian.
No, I mean
Hugh Jackman. Wait, no, he...
But I think the character doesn't...
Oh, we're talking about the character.
Yeah, the character. I think, at least in the movies, I think, doesn't Rogue go up to Canada and meet him? I'm going to have to look into that because it bugs me. I'm not a good superhero.
Yeah.
Like, especially comics nerd, but anyway. Yeah, so Wolverines, wow. I didn't realize they were so... I can't imagine chasing off... Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So before we get into whatever revenge you have on me, I, of course, said last time I would do two because I forgot to look at a joke. So what did the raptor say when they bumped into their ex?
I have no clue.
Well, this is awkward. Angry most of the time I do these. It's the best. All right.
Good all right. Lord, woman.
Go ahead. Let's get it. Let's do it. Because I'm pretty sure it's
okay.
Coming out, right?
So, I need you to do something.
Oh.
I need you to name an animal.
Any animal?
Yes.
Honey badger.
All right. We'll do honey badger. So, I am going to give us 3 minutes.
Oh, man.
We're going to work on this together.
Okay.
So, I want to do a play on of our alphabet game. And so, we're going to go in order of the name. And
the animal?
Yes.
Okay.
So, H, then O, then N, E, Y.
Whew. At least we don't have some of those really bad letters in there, I think.
Yes.
Who's going first? We didn't bring a coin again.
Nose goes. Okay.
I shouldn't ask these questions. Okay, so I'm going...
Where's my timer? Okay. I'm so hopeless.
Are you going to track this? Because I don't have anything... I don't have a writing implement to track. Okay, good. All right.
Yes.
Let me know when we're going. I think we can do it. How long do we have?
3 minutes.
I think we can do it.
Okay.
All right, ready?
Right.
Go. Hippopotamus.
All right. Octopus.
Oh, no. We always lose this here. Why? Oh my god, why am I dying on N? I'm thinking narwhal, but that's not an N.
Yeah, that's
it
an
is?
N.
Oh,
yes,
it was
E. Eel.
As we learned that one. Where are we? Y, yak.
B, badger.
That was cheating. A, an aardvark.
D, dingo.
Where are we?
G.
Badger. G, giraffe.
Wait. E.
Elephant.
It's my turn.
Oh, sorry. You get
elephant.
Okay.
R.
R. Ringtail lemur. Just use that again.
H. Horseshoe crab.
Okay. We're gonna have to start having a. Oh, is that everything?
No, we're going to see how many we get.
Like keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, we're back to H. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh god.
So O.
Okay. Horse. Oh no. Oh, sorry. Orangutan.
Right. N. Numbat.
Okay.
E.
I used an elephant. I used to choke eel, you little brat. Eland.
Why? Yellow sack spider.
Okay.
B.
A bat.
A. Agouti.
D. Dog.
G. Gorilla.
E. Right. E's again. That's an I. Egret. I can repeat ones we did before.
R. Rattlesnake.
Okay. H again.
Yep.
A. Hyrax.
Nice. O. Orb Weaver.
Aren't we getting the same letters every single time? I think we're always getting the same letters.
We might be due
we're
to...
the same letters every time. N.
No, I just did O, so it's N.
Okay, good. N, A, why is that hard? I'm going to do it again. Northern White Rhino.
E. Electric Catfish. Why?
Why? One's gonna get hard. Oh my gosh, I don't know what to say for why. Yeah, I'll have to be. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I was gonna say yodel. That's not a thing. I can't think of a why. And there's no dog breed for why. And I don't think there's a cat breed for why. I don't think there's a horse breed for why. Is there a frickin'... There has to be a fish.
Yeah, there's a fish.
Oh, wait, we're gonna die on why. I can't think of why. I want to say like a young something. A yonder catfish. wow. Okay, I have one. I understand the rules of the game very well. But, okay, yes?
Yellow Tang. It's a fish.
Yellowfin tuna.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
All right. I'll do the counting.
I feel so dumb. I'm going with yellowfin tuna. I think there's other yellow stuff too.
We got a total of 26.
Same amount of letters in the alphabet.
I know. What the heck?
We could have done better.
Yeah. I was expecting you to give me a single single name, not like one with two names.
Oh, okay. Like chimpanzee or something like that. I was just thinking honey badger because we mentioned them, but I like that game. We should go out with other animals too.
Mm-hmm.
That's challenging. Oh, God. We're going to don't do something with a U in it because that's really hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or X.
X, yeah.
Because then I'm going to have to cheat and name families.
You can't cheat. That's not allowed. Oh, my gosh. Anyway. That brings us to the end of the 8th episode and also the end of our North American adventure. So next month we go into the Atlantic Ocean as we make our way across the pond over to Europe. So this is where Casey is so excited.
I love the ocean.
Yes, he loves the ocean and I promise they won't all be creepy. So anyway. That brings us to the end. As always, we're your hosts, Allie.
And Casey.
And we'll catch you on the next episode. Have a great weekend. Take care of animals. Woo!